Now I would like to welcome Jesper Roine, Associate Professor, hi Jesper, for the Stockholm Institute of Transition Economics, as well as Lennart Båge, who has worked extensively on UN reform as the head of the multilateral department of the Foreign Ministry here in Sweden, and also of IFAD, the UN Development Bank for Rural Development. He's now a member of the CEDAS board. Welcome. Both of you, it's only one, both of you can come up. You've got 7 minutes each to comment on this. You can start, Matthias.
Yeah, sure.
I think so.
Okay, so thanks a lot for having me, and thanks, Helen, for a very interesting presentation. I had one slide only prepared, given the time, but that's mainly for you to see the sort of main bullet points of what I'm going to sort of reflect upon. So first of all, I should say that I'm here as an economist and not an aid expert, so my points will be mainly on this principal-agent approach to thinking about these questions. Thanks, Hans. So first of all, I think it's principal-agent or incomplete contract sort of approach, I think, is absolutely the right way to think about this. Maybe this is because I'm an economist and I see sort of incomplete contracts everywhere in life, but, you know. But then also one thing that struck me, and this is obviously, you know, listening to Helen's presentation, it's obviously clear to her, but from a theory point of view and from my own point of view, when I first started to think about this, you know, transferring this whole discussion of multilateralism versus unilateralism, or bilateralism, if you want to use that incorrect word. It really strikes me that the key thing here is really a choice between principal agent or principal and multiple agents and what in this literature is called multi-principal, multi-agent problems. And this is not just me being difficult in terms of jargon, because this has a number of consequences for how we think about this problem. Because the unilateral situation is really the principal agent situation. Because there's one principal, there's one government that wants to do something with its aid money, and then it's a question of how to delegate this. What happens in the multilateral setting is really, as pointed out, you know, in the presentation previously, that you move from this to a number of governments all of a sudden being multiple principals. They all have their agendas, but now we have a layer before the choice of agency or the choice of implementation where there's a bargaining stage over what should the goals be. And this in itself is really important because it changes the way that we think about this. So the way it was described here was really that the principal-agent framework sort of boils down to this trade-off between burden-sharing, or sort of lower costs, against loss of control. And I agree. I think that those two things are the key components. But I also want to point out that we want to be very clear about exactly how this happens. Because, as a theorist, it's not totally clear at first glance where does this burden sharing really come from. So we need to think carefully about what is it exactly? What is the sort of public goods aspect? What is the fixed cost that we think that we're lowering in the multilateral giving. So it's not obvious in theory why a number of individual governments, if they coordinated perfectly, and maybe this is one of the reasons why it's cheaper, but if they coordinated perfectly, it's not obviously the case that you get more bang for the buck, so to speak, if these give individually or if they sort of come together and give through one organization. We need to be specific about what is it in terms of public goods aspects here that gives this. Also, the loss of control seems very obvious, but I also want to point out that here it really depends a lot on the governance structure. So I can easily come up with a form of governance structure that would not lead to loss of control for one country. Say that we have a governance structure, and this is, you know, now you hear that I'm a theorist because all of you would say, yeah, that's not going to happen. But still, it points to the importance of thinking about this. Say that we have a governance structure where whoever gives the most decides completely. Then, you know, that wouldn't give loss of control for that one country, but it would give potentially more money for them to spend. So it would be lowering the cost, but not at the expense of lost control. Clearly, any governance structure that will be implemented will have this feature. But it's important to think about that the way we design the voting rules of these multilateral agencies really matters a lot for that point about loss of control and who it is that loses control. Because you can have a situation where, you know, potentially smaller donors lose a lot of control and therefore maybe become less inclined to give, etc. So I think these are important. Also, the point about better goal fulfillment really depends a lot on the goals that you define. And here I think there's some very interesting things to think about from this framework, and Helen pointed these out in her presentation. I think we might want to think about multilateral agencies as commitment devices for governments. In the same way as we think about central banks, for example. Why is it that we delegate something that we potentially could sort of optimize around if we could keep deciding at every point in time about some problem? Well, it's because that after the fact, so to speak, in the future, we may have incentive to do something different. We may want to renege on what we promised before. And that's not possible if we delegate that responsibility. And here I have a strong feeling that maybe, you know, if the goal is, as we always assume, fighting poverty, then the tendency of sort of other goals to creep in here would be smaller in a multilateral situation, because we delegate away that to another agency and make it harder for more sort of domestic interests to enter into this thing. Finally, I'd be very interested to hear Helen's thoughts on one other aspect about multi-principle, multi-agent problems, and that has to do with the tendency of these things, again, from a theoretical point of view, to increase the focus on measurable goals. So this is something that happens in models where you go from principal agent to multi-principle, multi-agent settings, that there's a tendency to increase the demand for measurable goals. You increase the focus on this. I think that's an interesting point in relation to much of the debate that goes on about we want to measure, and I'm totally for that. But, you know, how does this change if we move towards multilateral? So those were my points. Thanks.
Thank you.